As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. What a beautiful blue sky morning it is. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Friday, March the 19th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. It's always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. And if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism. We're going to talk about that a bit today. Where freedom is popular, it remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and be a part of today's broadcast. You can always pick up the telephone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. No viruses or worms, please. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and the micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647, P.O. Box 96. Out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, that postal zip code. Once again, our shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri. Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast. Again, 866-841-1065. The contact information and so much more available on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Visit that today, won't you? Precious metals close higher, trade a little bit lower with the uptick in the U.S. dollar. We'll talk about all of that. The history of law again this morning, Francois Guizot, Sir Edward Coke, Albert Van Dicey, don't worry, be happy. Well, we've got a full plate this morning. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for Friday, March the 19th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City 1 hour ago. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we find gold trading off 80 cents at $1,125.10, as the old saw goes. The gold closing continues to close higher. The highs are getting higher and the lows are getting higher, so we're kind of just creeping up the ladder once again. Maybe we'll see that 1,200 mark before the year's out. I don't know. Silver this morning off 6 cents at $17.33 an ounce. Platinum off 11 bucks at $1,617. And palladium apparently trading flat at $476 an ounce. The lows and the highs of the gold spot market this morning, very narrow trading band, $1,120 for a low, $1,126 for a high, but at $1,125.10, your gold is up $165.80 for a 17.29% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,121.50. You can see we're trading $4 above that now. The SPDR gold shares, that spider on the corner of the web, still unchanged on their website, holding 1,115.51 tons of gold. That's like a country in itself, isn't it? For $40.26 billion in reserves. We'll be right back.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And returning once again here on our Friday, March the 19th, 2010. Looking forward to that weekend, aren't you? Two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Let's go on and finish out this market report for this day. Active trading again out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading up down just a little bit, at $1,125.80. It's off 80 cents on early trading so far. Silver down 6 cents at $1,733 a troy ounce. Platinum down 11 bucks an ounce at $1,617, and palladium about flat at $476. We just finished out the other material in the first segment. And do take advantage of our archive broadcasts. You know, we always cover a little bit in every segment, and we just move right along. If you've missed it, it's right there. It's free access to you. All you got to do is download it, burn a copy, pass it out amongst your friends. Spread the word, won't you please? The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 45 at 10,779. Where's that 10,000 Dow? It looks like it's heading for 11,000. So much for the prognosticators. This is the no-spin zone. We just tell it to you the way we find it. The NASDAQ closed up, too, at 2391. And the S&P Standard No So Very Poor Index was flat at 1,166. The crude oil this morning off 47 cents a barrel, trading at $81.73 a barrel for that light sweet crude delivered as it is in Oklahoma. The U.S. Dollar Index, the Intercontinental Exchange website, is where you need to go to find out about that and crude and other things. But They say the U.S. dollar is up 0.29, whatever that's supposed to mean. You can't put that in your pocket and spend it, but it is an indice, and the indicators say that it's now standing at 80.60, which, of course, impacts the foreign exchange marketplace. The Canadian loonie, or the Canadian dollar, again today, moving strongly up 0.71%, or 71 basis points, still trades at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso moves down just a fuzzy bit. Now we're having to round back up again, but we're right on the line, just going back and forth on either side. But it's trading at 8 cents U.S. The euro moves down 44 basis points, trades at $1.35. The British pound, well, Jimmy Rogers says he doesn't want to buy pounds. He'll never own a pound in the rest of his life. He has a couple of extra pounds, but they're all around his waist. Anyway, the British pound this morning, 0.71% decline. It's trading at $1.51 U.S. And the Swiss franc off 17 basis points at 94 cents U.S. In the bond market this morning, that bonded indebtedness, yes, you too can buy debt. Well, you can. About $100 a shot to get them. But the two-year bond yields 0.97%. The 10-year is running 3.69. The 30-year is at 4.61. So if you want to buy bonds, there you go. The mortgage market this morning, hope you don't need a mortgage. Hope I don't need a mortgage. But anyway, if you do, a 15-year fixed rate mortgage is moving down just a little bit from 4.38% interest rate a month ago to 4.35%. You're going to have to pay points and origination fees and I don't know what else, bribes, roses for the secretary, and I don't know what else it would take to get a loan these days, but that's the 15-year. And the 30-year moves down from 5.13% a month ago to 5.04. In the news, not going to cover any new news. We're just going to talk about news, I guess, just briefly. This is news for people that live in and around Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tomorrow, on March the 20th, 2010, at 2 o'clock p.m. tomorrow, at the West Tulsa Free Will Baptist Church, the Family Life Center, which is at 930 West 23rd Place in Tulsa, they're going to have an Oklahoma Homeschoolers with Nathan Dahm, D-A-H-M. Protecting Oklahoma's right to homeschool information regarding legislation and how we can protect our right to home educate without restrictions or interference. Congressional candidate and former homeschool student Nathan Dahm will be guest speaking. Not your typical political event, they say. Governor candidate Senator Randy Brogdon will also be addressing them, the homeschoolers of Metro Tulsa area. An open invitation to all homeschoolers and those that are interested in homeschooling. An opportunity to meet with Senator and Governor hopeful Randy Brogdon as he will be addressing the home educating community of the Tulsa area. Folks, this is so important. We talk about it all the time here on Become Vocal Local, the deliberate dumbing down of America, as was written about by Charlotte Isserby in her excellent book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. You really have the best interest of your children at heart. I shouldn't say children. I've discovered that's not appropriate to say anymore. If you really do love your young boys and girls, the young people that sleep under your roof, you might consider homeschooling them, protect their minds. The mind of a child, the mind of a young boy or a girl is such a horrible thing to waste. The discussion will cover legislation that can affect homeschool families, what we can do to ensure our homeschooling rights are protected, and what the politicians are up to concerning this most important issue. Senator Brogdon will also discuss his plans to protect the future endeavors of homeschooling families. This is an open invitation to all homeschooling families in the Tulsa area, and I would imagine that if you came from outside of the Tulsa area, you would be welcome as well. And then they continue here. Once again, it's the West Tulsa Free Will Baptist Church tomorrow, 2 o'clock p.m. It's at 930 West 23rd Place. And do, if you can go, please do go and find out a little bit more about it. For more information, you can contact Laurette, L-A-U-R-E-T-T-E, at Laurette Lynn. That's L-Y-N-N, Laurette Whitlin, L-A-U-R-E-T-T-E-L-Y-N-N at yahoo.com. Or she even says you can call her, 894-2041. And this is off the Ron Paul meetup calendar of the Ron Paul Tulsa group. Now, those Ron Paul groups, there are still some of them out there, and the Tulsa group was and still remains very active on our side here of the border in sunny southwest Missouri on the 23rd. That's next Tuesday night at the Whatley Center just outside of Cassville at the Whatley Center at 7 p.m. In the evening. The Ozark Property Rights Congress Berry County Chapter will be meeting, and we'll have Congressional candidate Billy Long as a speaker. You want to find out more about that? Then just shoot me an email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Last evening, listening to another broadcast, you know, just like you, I do also listen to the shortwave, and I also do listen to Internet Talk Radio, and I was listening to a broadcast, and the announcer, or the host, put me on to a rather interesting piece of information, so I went up on the web, browsed it around, and found it. But this, written by Theodore Roosevelt, The Strenuous Life, published back in 1900, it was published in The Outlook, on May the 12th of 1900, so we're going to go backwards, we're going to reverse and go back 110 years and hear a little bit of the wisdom that at least was being advanced by Theodore Roosevelt, not the other guy. This is the Bull Moose Party, but anyway, same kin, same branch, same tree, probably the same kind of people, but this is the section he titles The Eighth and the Ninth Commandments in Politics, and when we come back from this break, we'll go into that. A lot more on the plate today, a whole bunch. I hope I can squeeze it all in. Won't you stay with us? We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so from the Principles of Business Law, Dillaboo and Howard's Ninth Edition, we've referred to this text many times, the duties and principles and the duties of principal and the agent to each other. Recall we've been talking about this principles and the agents and the third parties. If we are in a republic, as we sometimes believe that we are the principals in this system. And, of course, our politicians and all of the various agencies, they are our agents. And then the third parties, of course, we talked about that yesterday with all the bankers swarming all over Capitol Hill. But the nature and the extent of the duties imposed upon agents and servants are governed largely by the contract of employment. Well, that contract with America, or as some say, the contract on America. In addition to the duties expressly designated, certain others are implied by the fiduciary nature of the relationship. And by the legal effects on the principle of actions or omissions by the agent, the usual implied duties are, one, to be loyal to his principal. Does that stand up? Huh? That would be the litmus test in Washington, wouldn't it? Number two, to obey all reasonable instructions. When was the last time we had the opportunity to send our representatives off to Washington with instructions? And three, not to be negligent. Well, the Democrats right now, six votes short of 216, needed to pass Obamacare. Not to be negligent? Well, we'll find out more about that. To account for all money or property received for the benefit of the principal? When was the last time we ever were able to get an accurate balance sheet? And five, to inform the principal of all the facts which materially affect the subject matter of the agency. Of course, we're not going to be able to read the bill until after they've passed it, right? Well, brings to mind Theodore Roosevelt. This is his Eighth and Ninth Commandments in Politics, as published in the Outlook on May the 12th of 1900. I'll try and blow through this thing. The two commandments which are especially applicable in public life are the Eighth and the Ninth. Of course, back in the 1900s, you didn't have to do a lot of bit of crawfishing and walk all over the stage in order to say the Eighth and Ninth Commandment. Everybody on the planet, at least in this country, knew what the Eighth and Ninth Commandment were, and they didn't need to be reminded, but we'll have to remind our audience. No doubt, this morning, not only every politician, high or low, but every citizen interested in politics, and especially every man who in a newspaper or on the stump advocates or condemns any public policy or any public man should remember always that the two cardinal points in his doctrine ought to be, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. He should also, of course, remember that the multitude of men who break the moral law expressed in these two commandments are not to be justified because they keep out of the clutches of the human law. Robbery and theft, perjury and subordination of perjury are crimes punishable by the courts. But many a man who technically never commits any one of these crimes is yet morally quite as guilty as is his less adroit but not more wicked and possibly infinitely less dangerous brother who gets into the penitentiary. That's the way he starts it off. Not bad so far there, Teddy. As regards the Eighth Commandment, while the remark of one of the founders of our government that the whole art of politics consists in being honest is an overstatement, it remains true that absolute honesty is what Cromwell would have called a fundamental of healthy political life. Cromwell. Well, it brings up another ogre, but I'll have to discuss him on another day. We can afford to differ on the currency, the tariff, and foreign policy, but we cannot afford to differ on the question of honesty if we expect our republic permanently to endure. You see, it seems that in 1900 here, Teddy Roosevelt still knew that this was a republic. I'll say it again. We cannot afford to differ on the question of honesty if we expect our republic permanently to endure. He needs to remind Barry the usurper. You know, it's like Geppetto's going to have to send out a cadre of woodcutters to lop the cordwood off the end of that lying rascal's nostril. Continuing here. Honesty. No. Listen. No community is healthy where it is ever necessary to distinguish one politician among his fellows because he is honest. In other words, you get up on the, you're stumping, and you get up on the soapbox, and you start talking about, well, gentlemen, I'm honest. Whenever anybody tells you, A, that they're honest, or B, that they're a Christian, you should run off quickly in the other direction. One needn't be told. One should be able to recognize it immediately. Honesty is not so much a credit as an absolute prerequisite to efficient service to the public. Unless a man is honest, we have no right to keep him in public life. It matters not how brilliant his capacity. It hardly matters how great his power of doing good service on certain lines may be. Probably very few men will disagree with this statement in the abstract, yet in the concrete there is much wavering about it. The number of public servants who actually take bribes is not very numerous outside of certain well-known centers of festering corruption. Wouldn't that be perhaps those 10 square miles, swampland as it is? But the temptation to be dishonest often comes in insidious ways. There are not a few public men who, though they would repel with indignation an offer of a bribe, will give certain corporations special legislative and executive privileges because they have contributed heavily to campaign funds, will permit loose and extravagant work because a contractor has political influence, or, at any rate, will permit a public servant to take public money without rendering an adequate return by conniving at inefficient service on the part of men who are protected by prominent party leaders. Well, how's that for peas in a sentence? Various degrees of moral guilt are involved in the multitudinous actions of this kind. But after all, directly or indirectly, every such cause or case comes dangerously near the borderline of the commandment which, in forbidding theft, certainly by implication forbids the connivance at theft or the failure to punish it. One of the favorite schemes of reformers is to devise some method by which big corporations can be prevented from making heavy subscriptions to campaign funds and thereby acquiring improper influence. But the best way to prevent them from making contributions for improper purposes is simply to elect as public servants, curious, masters and servants, principals and agents. Apparently, Teddy understood what I've been trying to teach these past weeks. Not professional denouncers of corporations. For such men are in practice usually their most servile tool. As Shakespeare said, me think as you protest too much. But men who say and mean that they will neither be for nor against corporations, that on the one hand they will not be frightened from doing them justice by popular clamor, or on the other hand led by any interest whatsoever into doing them more than justice. At the antitrust conference last summer, Mr. Bryant commented with a sneer on the fact that of course New York would not pass a law prohibiting contributions by corporations. He was right in thinking that New York, while it remains or retains rational civic habits, will not pass ridiculous legislation which cannot be made effective. We've talked about that before. A law that cannot be enforced will not be enforced. Continuing, I'll say it again. Will not pass ridiculous legislation which cannot be made effective and which is merely intended to deceive during the campaign the voters least capable of thought. How important that phrase is. Least capable of thought. Listen to another broadcast last evening, Alfred Adesk. Got to have him back on again. He was on the idea of how important it is to learn how to read and not at Dick and Jane Run Spot Run. level, but to really be able to read, to facilitate and understand the language. That is a skill hard learned. We'll be right back.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine, from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again and going through a little bit here from Theodore Roosevelt from The Strenuous Life, apparently 1900, published in The Outlook. I guess that was a magazine, May 12th of 1900. Where he's talking about the 8th and the 9th commandments in politics. And he continues and he says, it's of course not enough that a public official should be honest. No amount of honesty will avail if he's not also brave and wise. The weakling and the coward cannot be saved by honesty alone. But without honesty, the brave and able man is merely a civic wild beast who should be hunted down by every lover of righteousness. No man who is corrupt, no man who condones corruption in others, can possibly do his duty by the community. When this truth is accepted as axiomatic in our politics then and not till then, shall we see such a moral uplifting of the people as will render, for instance, Tammany rule in New York, as Tammany rule now is, no more possible than it would be possible to revive the robber baronage of the Middle Ages. Great is the danger to our country from the failure among our public men to live up to the 8th commandment. from the callousness in the public which permits such shortcomings. Yet, it's not an exaggeration to say that the danger is quite as great from those who year in and year out violate the Ninth Commandment by bearing false witness against the honest man, and who thereby degrade him and elevate the dishonest man until they are both on the same level. The public is quite as much harmed in the one case as in the other, by the one set of wrongdoers as by the other. Liar, quote-unquote liar, is just as ugly a word as quote-unquote thief, because it implies the presence of just as ugly a sin in one case as in another. I like to say, the three kinds of people I really do loathe, despise, and detest: liars, cheats, and thieves. And why? Well, because they really are all just liars. If a man lies under oath or procures the lie of another under oath, if he perjures himself or suborns perjury, he is guilty under the statute law. Under the higher law, here it comes again, the higher law, under the great law of morality and righteousness, he is precisely as guilty if instead of lying in a court, he lies in a newspaper or on the stump. In all the probability, and in all probability, the evil effects of his conduct are infinitely more widespread and more pernicious. Change. Change. The difference between perjury and mendacity is not in the least one of morals or ethics. It is simply one of legal forms. The same man may break both commandments, or one group of men may be tempted to break one and another group of men the other. In our civic life, the worst offenders against the law of honesty owe no small part of their immunity to those who sin against the law by bearing false witness against their honest neighbors. Community survey comes to mind. The sin is, of course, peculiarly revolting when coupled with hypocrisy. That would maybe be the International Property Maintenance Code. When it is committed in the name of morality, community policing, perhaps. Few politicians do as much harm as the newspaper editor, the clergyman, or the lay reformer who, day in and day out, by virulent and untruthful invective aimed at the upholders of honesty, weakens them for the benefit of frankly vicious. We need fearless criticism of dishonest men and of honest men on any point where they go wrong. But even more, we do need criticism which shall be truthful both in what it says and in what it leaves unsaid. Truthful in words and truthful in the impression it designs to leave upon the readers' or the hearers' minds. We need absolute honesty in public life, and we shall not get it until we remember that truth-telling must go hand in hand with it, and that it is quite as important not to tell an untruth about a decent man as it is to tell the truth about one who is not decent. Well, a little bit of wisdom. Teddy Roosevelt. Listen to everyone. Read anything. Believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research, but a good piece of writing nonetheless. This, out of Summoned on Jurisprudence, the 12th edition, published years ago, really a pleasant addition to my library, that's for sure. Again, I owe Alfred Addisk the kudos for bringing it to my attention. This published back in 1966. But surely, if you're a student of law, jurisprudence, or anything, you'll want to take time out and visit with Salmond on Jurisprudence. You can find it, some of it, online. But here we're talking about honesty, you know, and everybody talks about the oath, you know, the oath of office. Well, with the Kol Nidre vow laying out there that certain people take on the Yom Kippur, which is kind of like King's X, having your fingers crossed behind your back. If you take that Kol Nidre vow, you can just about disavow any other oaths that you make in the year, if my understanding from the Rebbe's is correct. But here, the theory of the oath is generically the same. Quote, an oath, close quote, says Hobbes, that would be Thomas Hobbes, Leviathan, quote, is a form of speech added to a promise, by which he that promiseth signifieth that unless he perform, he renounceth the mercy of his God. OK, capital G in this case, or called to him for vengeance on himself. Such was the heathen form, here's the heathen form, of an oath. Let Jupiter kill me, else as I kill the beast. So is our form. I shall do thus and thus, so help me God. Close quote. That all from Thomas Hobbes. The definition is correct, save that it is restricted to promissory, instead of including also declaratory oaths. A man may swear not only that he will speak the truth, but that certain statements are the truth. That invokes our whole discussion in the past of the rights of the juror, jury duty, this whole idea of swearing an oath. A man may swear not only that he will speak the truth, but that certain statements are the truth. The idea of the oath, therefore, is that his testimony is true. Who is prepared to imprecate divine vengeance on his own head in case of falsehood? Yet it needs but a little experience of courts of justice to discover how ineffective is any such check on false witness, and how little likely is the retention of it to increase respect, either for religion or for the administration of justice. The true preventative of false testimony is an efficient law for its punishment as a crime. So writes John Salmond in the closing words of Salmond on Jurisprudence. Interesting concept. In a amoral world, where none have belief at all. I guess they could always say that there are those that believe and then there's those that don't believe. They're the believers and the unbelievers and so on and so forth. But in that kind of a world, of what value would an oath be? Who cares what oath the judge took if the judge is not just in his heart? An amoral man, his oath is of little or no value. Countercurrents and cross-currents of legislative opinion. Here's a little bit more. This, going back to A.V. Dicey, the lectures on public relation between law and public opinion in England during the 19th century, that'd be the 1800s in our history of law, from another series of lectures, these given by Edward Venn Dicey, who held the Vinarian chair at Oxford. It was the chair that was set up for William Blackstone, by the way. But these lectures, let's see if I can find the date here. I'll just say it this way. In the last decade of his life, Albert Dicey repeatedly claimed that lectures on the relation between law and public opinion in England during the 19th century was his best and most mature book. This was peculiar, coming from the author of the famous and authoritative The Law of the Constitution. Why did he favor law and opinion? This is the book I'm going to be reading from. It was a mature work in several senses, the product of great age, of a long process, and of long-held beliefs. It articulated the belief and fears of a typical intelligent English Edwardian Benthamite liberal, responding to the apostasies of the Gladstonian liberals and to the socialism of John Stuart Mill. That's J.S. Mill. That's the utilitarians. That would be on liberty. That would be the Libertarian Party, socialist. Asquith liberals and the British Labour Party. Law and opinion, therefore, also has an... Oh, my goodness, I don't know. A mature writer facing the displacement of his cherished theories by irresponsible new experiments. Albert Venn Dicey, who lived from 1835 to 1922, wrote Law and Opinion near the end of a long and productive life. In 1905, he was 70, and by the time of the second edition in 1914, he was 79. Dicey's life spanned the Victorian era, and I'll continue with that on the other side.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com. The official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com. Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at ChristosTrading.com.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we find that Albert Van Dicey here, our author of these writings, Law and Public Opinion in England During the 19th Century. Again, he lived from 1835 to 1922. He wrote Law and Opinion near the end of a long and productive life. He knew personally many of the most important liberal thinkers in English politics and letters. Dicey came from a typical liberal family. His father, Thomas Edward Dicey, was a Whig reformer. We're talking about liberal here. We're talking about capital L liberal. And here we see that his father, Thomas Edward Dicey, was a Whig reformer and the editor of the family newspaper, the Northampton Mercury. So we look at the founders of our country and we find them to be Whigs, largely, arrayed against the Tories, meeting their primary resistance. And so yet, as I've mentioned before in the past, what is conservative today was liberal yesterday, and so on and so on, and it goes back and forth from generation to generation. Conservative, like a jar of strawberry jam, is just to preserve something that you found enjoyable in your earlier days. But here, at the time of our founding, the Whigs were liberals, capital L liberals. And so all of these conservatives out there that are championing for a restoration of conservative values in America, the restoration of our constitutional limited republican form of representative government, are actually championing for liberal values. But that's kind of why the political party system is so fouled up. They really don't know their roots. Dicey noted that Benthamite liberals and evangelicals were the leading forces of reform in the 19th century England. Talk about these evangelicals. Been around a while, haven't they? You just thought they came up with Jerry Falwell and Timothy LaHaye. Not quite. Both groups believed in the individual's duty to promote reform. Dicey himself accepted these duties. And continuing, but here, where I wanted to be, the liberal hero, Mill, that would be John Stuart Mill, declared himself a socialist just before his death in 1873. During the 1880s and the 1890s, new liberals accepted collectivist policies as solutions to political problems. Further, in the 1880s, Dicey became estranged from even more liberals when the Gladstonian wing of the Liberal Party embraced home rule to deal with Irish unrest. Law and opinion was in part Dicey's attempt to understand these changes. Dicey welcomed the chance to visit the United States. He had visited in 1870 with James Bryce and counted it as a formative event, opening his eyes to a non-English political system. See, sometimes it's important to travel outside of the circle of influence that you grew up in. During October and November of 1898, 112 years ago, Dicey delivered 11 lectures at Harvard under the title Development of English Law During the 19th Century in Connection with the Course of Public Opinion in England. And so now we're going to have a little bit of Harvard Law School reading for you this morning. You don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. All you have to do is just get up early in the morning and tune in to Become Vocal Local, and you get the same kind or better education you can get in the Ivy Leagues. After all, they did graduate Jorge Bush out of Yale, didn't they? He thought they went well. Despite the large room and the large attendance, other accounts were not flattering. Even before the series started, Dicey noted some difficulties with his voice. Additional problems could be related to the content of the lectures. Dicey could be critical of the American political system, for example. He was not a fan of federalism, nor of a factional or party-based democracy. You see, his message probably went over just about as flat as mine does sometimes. Not a fan of federalism, nor of a factional or party-based democracy. Our founders warned us against allowing parties and factions to creep in amongst us. And his lectures were so Anglo-centric and sometimes self-congratulatory that it is easy to imagine an American audience becoming impatient with him. Well, don't get impatient. Listen carefully. This is from his 12th lecture, The Relation Between Legislative Opinion and General Public Opinion. Again, this is this idea about how opinions, public opinions, shape law and legislation. And that we not only have public opinion, and that's what we basically deal with when we get involved with the daily news up on the internet regurgitorium, that's public opinion, that's public notice, but then there are cross currents of public opinion. In other words, certain analysts go in and look at these news stories that are put out for your public consumption, your Edward Bernays, the Bernays School of Public Relations, if you will. But this information that's put out for your public consumption, there are cross currents of public opinion that look at this material and they say, hey, wait a minute. This is all lemons and there's nothing here to make lemonade out of. But from this lecture 12, the relation between legislative opinion and general public opinion. Let's go over here and make sure we're still cool. Yes. Yes, the relation between legislative opinion and general public opinion. Lawmaking opinion is merely one part of the whole body of ideas and beliefs which prevails at a given time. Lawmaking opinion. Who are the lawmakers and who are the lawgivers, if not Congress, right? Lawmaking opinion is merely one part of the whole body of ideas and beliefs which prevail at a given time. We can also say that there is the news. The media, if you will, the controlled media, the lapdog press. We could also say that there's all the agencies and all of the experts say. Then there is this plethora of groups and organizations. Each has an opinion. As I like to say, we're all born with more than one. They're like elbows, easily bent to suit the purpose at hand. But lawmaking opinion is merely one part of the whole body of ideas and beliefs which prevail at a given time. Some people follow Congress and what they're doing there. Some people do not. Sometimes Congress follows the ideas and the opinions that are prevailing at the time outside of the lawmaking arena, out of that sector. Dicey continues here in the opening statements of this 12th lecture, we therefore naturally expect first that alterations in the opinion which governs the province of legislation will reappear in other spheres of thought and action and be traceable in the lives of individuals, and next, that the chapters of legislative opinion will turn out to be the result of the general tendencies of English or indeed of European thought during a particular age. And this morning when I went up on the internet to gather news in frustration on Bloomberg, and I typically follow the Bloomberg website, it is an economic-oriented website at a time when things are particularly economic, to put it bluntly. And again, as always, it's all about everywhere else and not about here. Once again, it's all this finger-pointing outside the country. Continuing along here, this lecture is an attempt to show that these anticipations hold good in a very special manner of that transition from individualistic liberalism to unsystematic collectivism or socialism, which has characterized the development of English law during the latter part of the 19th century. Everyone wants to look at Karl Mordecai Marx and the French Proudhon and talk about socialism and communism, but they fail to look at the source. Look over at England, my friends. Or, if you're going to be going down that pathway, look at Claude Henri Duverroy Saint-Simon and his disciple Auguste Comte, the founder of French socialism and the founder of positivism. So again, we're talking about the development then of this unsystematic collectivism or this individualistic liberalism in the latter part of 19th century in England. One, as to the analogous changes of opinion in different spheres and also in the lives of individuals. And of course, you know, this is your first morning listening to Become Vocal Local. We do a lot of reading here. And we've tried to elevate our minds up to the level that we're able to deal with something other than Dick and Jane readers. So just listen carefully and let it sweep across you. And if you need to go back and access the archives, be sure and do so. They're there for your convenience on the theoraclebroadcasting.com website, the Become Vocal Local show archive page. We'll pick it right up there with Albert Van Dicey on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Back in 2 minutes.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit seapanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, seapanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, March the 19th, 2010. Very bright, sunny morning here in southwest Missouri. Our two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come to you live Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, in the first hour. Started out with a little bit from Theodore Roosevelt talking about the 8th and 9th commandments as being essential in political life. If there is no honesty, if there is no truth in our political servants, then we have failed on all accounts. So you can pick that up in the first hour. Transitioned into a little bit about the oath from Salmon on jurisprudence. Boy, aren't we getting heady this morning. And now we're diving into Albert Van Dicey. From his wonderful work, the seminal work of his life, Lectures on the Relation Between Law and Public Opinion in England during the 19th century. Let's not overlook this influence of public opinion. Public opinion and cross currents of public opinion as they shape law and legislation. And we just began on this, so let us continue. Let us hear Mr. Dicey writes, Albert Venn. What a profound fellow he is, quite a life. Let us here consider, rather more fully, a matter several times touched upon in the foregoing lectures, namely, the relation between legislative and theological opinion. Oh, yeah, that's right. And this is Lecture 12, the relation between legislative opinion and general public opinion. But we're talking about this distinction between the evangelicals and the liberals in England, where the evangelicals might be considered the Tories, and the liberals could be understood as best as the Whigs. This has never gone away, my friends. The influence continues today in the advance of global socialism, truly, winning out over those evangelicals that strive so hard. But unfortunately, I believe they strive against the wrong things. They're trying to pull against, with their braces, pulling against the wrong load. Trying to castigate or condemn humanism, which is a lamp of the light of all of the founders, truly. Sometimes we forget that. The Protestants were indeed humanist. So continuing, the relation between legislative and theological opinion. The partial coincidence in point of time between the reign of Benthamism, that'd be Jeremy Bentham, so important, got to know who these guys are. Start with Francis Hutcheson, the Scottish educator, if you will, philosopher, Edinburgh. Pick that up with James Mill and Jeremy Bentham. And the beginning of the philosophical radicals, philosophical radicalism, you look right back here at this time period. We say that this is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America, not to advance the concept of philosophical radicalism, but to stir up your pure, your powerful, and your positive mind to perhaps make an inquiry into what is philosophical radicalism, because you can see that it ends with an ism, that means it's a faith. And we need to check it out and check it out very carefully, my friends. But the partial coincidence in point of time between the reign of Benthamism, in other words, of faith, every time we find these isms, you want to track it back and find the founder this easy, Bentham, Jeremy Bentham. And then if you find the founder and you dig into their writings, you'll oftentimes and most often find a faith statement. And the Benthamites certainly had plenty of that. The partial coincidence in point of time between the reign of Benthamism in the field of legislation and of evangelicalism in the religious world is obvious. Pick up that obvious relationship on the other side of these words from our sponsor.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And returning from Edward Van Dicey here, and for those of you just joining us, this is our Friday, March the 19th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, joined as we are now by our AM and FM affiliates out there across America. Big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local and for your local audience listening in this morning. Welcome. We're talking about Albert Van Dicey, from his seminal work, Lectures on the Relation Between Law and Public Opinion in England During the 19th Century, public opinion is so important. It's so easy to change public opinion, especially when you have the keys to media and education. And so, as we become vocal local, right in our local voting precincts, in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states, the change agents, many of them themselves, the Chadwicks and others, coming from England, Totnes and elsewhere, Tavistock and elsewhere, the Smith Institute and elsewhere, and from all of the foundations with their power and influence recorded in Renee Wormser's book of the same title, as we become vocal local, we're constantly dealing with and trying to overcome the public opinion that is being spread at all levels, even in the church. And so it behooves us to understand some of the past so that we can understand better the present, so that we can gaze into the future, if you will, and see how and where we need to position ourselves to live in greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyrannical and despotic control. But back to the text here, this is his 12th lecture, delivered at Harvard, as it was, picking up our Ivy League education here in our internet homeschool classroom. The partial coincidence in point of time between the reign of Benthamism in the field of legislation, and that was basically the codification of English law, and of evangelicalism in the religious world is obvious. The influence of each was on the increase from the beginning of the 19th century and reached its height in about 1834 to 1835. From that date until 1860, utilitarian philosophy and evangelical theology were each dominant in England. Utilitarian philosophy, that would be John Stuart Mill, the son of James Mill. By 1870, however, it was manifest, that's 5 years after the onset, I guess you would say, of the Reconstruction period. This was the Abraham Lincoln time period, the Civil War in America, the War of Northern Aggression. By 1870, however, it was manifest that Benthamism and evangelicalism had each lost much of their hold upon English men. This decline of authority, when once it became noticeable, was rapid. In the England of today, the very names of Benthamites and of evangelicals are forgotten. Their watchwords are out of date. Many ideas, it is true, which we really owe to Bentham and his followers, or to Simeon and his predecessors, exert more power than would be suspected from the current language of the time. So these ideas come into existence. They gain great popularity, and then they go underground. And they come again, and then they resurface again, and they resurface again, and again, and again. Again, from the book. But as living movements, Benthamism and evangelicalism are things of the past. Now, he's writing 100 years ago. And they're back. Have they no real interconnection or similarity? To this question, many critics will reply with a decided negative. It appears at first sight a hopeless paradox to contend that the doctrines of Jeremy Bentham and James Mill had any affinity with the faith of Simeon Wilberforce or Zachary Macaulay. The political reformers were radicals, that's capital R, radicals. The Radical Red Republican Party of Lincoln. Or in their day, Democrats. Curious, isn't it? The insurgents, the radicals, Democrats. They were certainly free thinkers and must sometimes, in the eyes of evangelicals, have appeared infidels, if not atheists. They assuredly attach no value to any theological creed whatever. Their only conception of church reform was to make the Church of England a fit instrument for the propagation of utilitarian morality. And there, if you're a browser, whether you have Google, Scroogle, Dogpile, or Web Ferret, you might look into the Unitarian Church. That church, on a street I forget, apologize for that, in England, on some days, has a Unitarian message, and on other days they teach the Catechism of the Positive Religion of Humanity, August Comte's Universal Religion of Humanity, capital H. Hasn't gone away, folks, just kind of gone underground. The evangelical leaders, on the other hand, were Tories. They were men of ardent personal piety. To Bentham and his followers, they must have seemed bigots. Their efforts were directed toward the revival throughout the nation of religious fervor. You see how much, even though time changes, things remain the same? They must have seemed as bigots, men of ardent personal piety. They were Tories, the evangelical leaders. The only kind of church reform which enlisted their sympathy was the removal of all abuses such as pluralism. Can we speak of that here all the time? Bringing to your attention this concept, pluralism, which hindered the Church of England from being the effective preacher of what they held to be saving truth. Evangelicalism, in short, with its gaze constantly directed towards the happiness or terrors of a future life. Evangelicalism, in short, with its gaze constantly directed towards the happiness or terrors of a future life, might well be considered the direct antithesis of utilitarianism, which looked exclusively to the promotion in this world of the greatest happiness of the greatest number. Utilitarianism, which looked exclusively to the promotion in this world of the greatest happiness of the greatest number. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become Vocal Local. Because here and nowhere else does anyone direct your attention to this concept. On Mike Chambers' broadcast, almost 2 years ago, I filled in for him while he was running the wagon trains to the farm, and we had a contest in the evening where I offered a copy of F.A. Hayek's Road to Serfdom for the first caller that could call in and tell us how the words pursuit of happiness found their way into the Declaration of Independence. None could answer the question then. How many of you that have listened these past 18, 19 months could answer that question today?
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells.
Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cardivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the Matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So once again, we introduce this concept of the greatest good of the greatest number. This is the real root. This is the core. This is the warp and the woof of communitarianism. This is definitely on us and at us, right where you live, right where I live, in all of the different towns and cities across America and around the world, coming on us and at us at all times, doing everything for the community survey, the census, in its expanded format. But the difference here, back to Albert Van Dicey writing 100 years ago, the difference is nothing else than the gulf which severs religion from secularism. And then, as today, we still have these two camps vying for each other power. The liberal, if you will, the utilitarian, and the evangelical. Of course, if those of you that have listened for any length of time know that it was Jeremy Bentham who came up with the panopticon, his idea of a prison system, a gaol, where the watchers could watch into all of the cells at all times from a guard tower in the center of the prison, and none of the inmates could see the guards, and they would never know whether they were being watched or not, but they always had to be on their best behavior because they never knew if they were being watched or not. And the next time you go to town, look at all the cameras and tell me we're not living in a Benthamite America. It's this gulf that severs religion from secularism. The next time you're talking to your pastor or your priest, you might ask them if they've bought into FEMA's programming, if they might be on the take. Maybe they're going to come around and encourage you like they did down in the Ninth Ward when the pastors poured out to encourage people. Just go ahead and turn in your weapons. Peaceably go to the dome there, the Superdome or whatever they called that thing. Just go in there. Go in and pent up. You know, become repented. Yes, as we can now see, Dicey writes, Benthamism and evangelicalism represented the development in widely different spheres of the same fundamental principle, namely the principle of individualism. And so we have this continuing struggle between individualism and collectivism that carries on till today and is going to continue on indefinitely as long as there are any people who retain any thought of freedom and individuality. There will always be this antagonism between the collectivist, the greatest good of the greatest number, and the individualist. 100% control of my property, 100% control of the time, 0% control of my neighbor's property, 100% of the time. It's the difference between having property and the Communist Manifesto's abolition of private property. The appeal of the evangelicals to personal religion corresponds with the appeal of Benthamite liberals to individual energy. But there are contradictions going on all over the place here. Indifference to the authority of the church is the counterpart of indifference to the authoritative teaching on the or guidance of the state or of the society. How much influence should the state or society have over the individual, as opposed to the authority of the church? Both are vying for control. Neither one wants to relinquish the gains made in centuries past. A low estimate of ecclesiastical tradition, aversion to and the incapacity for inquiries into the growth or the development of religion, the stern condemnation of even the slightest endeavor to apply the principles of historical criticism, bear a close resemblance to Bentham's contempt for legal antiquarianism and to James Mill's absolute blindness to the force of the historical objections brought by Macaulay against the logical dogmatism embodied in Mill's essay on government. I can tell you, they don't write or publish sentences of that length any longer. Evangelicals and Benthamites alike were incapable of applying the historical method. Remember, we found that historical method when we studied Karl Marx. The economic interpretation of history as opposed to the historical method interpretation of history, and neither recognized its value nor foresaw its influence. Both the evangelicals and the Benthamites alike were incapable of applying the historical method. They had no rearview mirrors. They cared not where they'd been, or what was precedent, or what was custom, or what was tradition. It was just to hell with the consequences, up the middle for 3, or as Mike Chambers says, 4 yards. You see how little I know about football. I like to say up the middle for 3 yards, and who cares? Damn the consequences. Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead, right? That's where Barry the Usurper is trying to go this morning. That's where they want to go with the health care bill. We'll find out what's in it after it's been passed. The theology, again, which insisted upon personal responsibility and treated each man as himself bound to work out his own salvation, had an obvious affinity to political philosophy, which regards men almost exclusively as separate individuals and made it the aim of law to secure for every person freedom to work out his own happiness. This happiness principle again. Treating each man as himself bound to work out his own salvation. An obvious affinity to the political philosophy, which regards men almost exclusively as separate individuals and made it the aim of law to secure for every person freedom to work out his own happiness. But we have to look back and see, how's that Benthamism working out for England? Have they become Jeremy Bentham's panopticon? Are they being tracked and traced in everything that they do there? Have we carried that poison with us into this country? Nor, from one point of view, was evangelicalism teaching opposed to the fundamental doctrine or dogma of Benthamism. Paley's Principles of Moral and Political Philosophy, of which the publication preceded by 4 years the appearance of Bentham's treatise on the principles of morals and legislation, was the extension of the greatest happiness principle to the sphere of religion, and Paley was accepted by the religious world of England as the philosophic theologian of the age. And we have the Council for National Policy. Francis Schaeffer, who influenced Timothy LaHaye, who joined up with Jerry Falwell and created not only the Council on National Policy with his wife Beverly LaHaye, but also the Falwells and their moral majority. On one side you have the evangelicals, and on the other side you have the libertarians, utilitarians. Can't vote for Ron Paul, he's a libertarian. The preachers who, whether within or without the limits of the Church of England, aroused the consciences of Englishmen to a sense of religion and moral duty by appeals to the dread of hellfire in the next world, and the thinkers who pressed upon Englishmen the necessity and wisdom of promoting in this world, insofar as law could accomplish the end, the greatest happiness of the greatest number, relied alike, in theory at least, upon the principle of utility, which bade every man to strive for the attainment, whether in this world or in any other, of the greatest possible happiness. What did Thomas Jefferson mean when he wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness? What did he know then, even before Bentham, about the writings of Francis Hutcheson that we don't know today? Find out more right after these words from our sponsors.
Ordinary Talk Radio, give you the laws.
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, cPanel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cPanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, of course, when one has access to these kinds of writings, you know, we're not limited just here on the on Become Vocal Local to this kind of stuff. This is information is accessible to you as well. You can certainly go up on Liberty Fund's website. I'll just type in Liberty Fund, Inc. into your browser, And you can look at all of the various and sundry books that they have. Still haven't heard back from them, hoping that they'll sponsor the broadcast or at least the network. But the ideas are all here. And again, look at the source. This being taught 100 years ago at Harvard. And whatever a good idea is laid out, you know, the antithesis, the thesis, they always has an antithesis, and then you can find a synthesis in there if you but look. And so this idea of the greatest happiness of the greatest number has been perverted. Who was the fellow I've been trying through the break to remember? I can't. Influential in the lives of many of the rock and rollers of the 60s. He's also known as the other Loch Ness Monster, and his byword was, "Do as thou wilt, for is the whole of the law." Maybe some of you know who I'm trying to remember here. Had a place out there, invited a lot of people to gain a lot of influence. Let's see, it was Stairway to Heaven, was influenced by his writings and his teachings and so on. Anyway, continuing, it is practically both the preachers and the philosophers appealed to much nobler feelings than the mere desire to avoid pain or enjoy pleasure. This idea of avoiding pain or enjoying pleasure. The beginnings of the natural law. You go back to look and read Lucretius. Lucretius. Evangelical teachers and philosophical radicals urged their disciples, though in very different ways, to lead better and nobler lives. Now we're hearkening back to Sir Francis Hutcheson and his work. How does this idea of being individualistic and being libertarian and utilitarian lead to better and nobler lives? And look at the perversion that came creeping in on us for first the Beat generation, Jack Kerouac and Ken Kesey, the Beatnik, and then the anti-war, actually then the Civil Rights Movement, the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement with Martin Luther King and the other communists and socialists out of Berkeley, California and elsewhere, and the beginning then of the free speech movement, which translated then into the anti-war, anti-Vietnam War protest period, protesters, you know, which then became hippies, and then became flower children, and then became hippies, and then became yuppies, and then became presidents of the United States of America. Any hippy-dippy weatherman now welcome in the White House. Evangelical teachers and philosophical radicals once again urged their disciples, though in very different ways, to lead better and nobler lives. They appealed as regards matters of national concern to the public spirit and to the humanity of Englishmen. The humanity of Englishmen. They excited among all whom they could influence the hatred of palpable injustices, and felt themselves and kindled among others a special abhorrence for that kind of oppression which manifestly increased human suffering. And the rise of pluralism in the United States, fanned on by all of the various wealthy interests that create and finance and fund all of these various and specious groups. The World Wildlife Fund, Sierra Club, you know, Nature Conservancy, all of the various bugs and bunny groups and all of the little green weenie groups and all of that, and all of the special interest groups from breast cancer all out to hangnails and hemorrhoids. Pluralism. It's a new form of government. It's a community government suitable for a communitarian existence. Wesley, John Wesley, on his deathbed, wrote to encourage Wilberforce in his glorious enterprise. Now we're touching on the evangelicals again, in opposing that execrable villainy, the slave trade, which is the scandal of religion of England and of the human nature, whilst Bentham, in a later year, wrote to express his sympathy with the exertions of Wilberforce in behalf of the race of innocents whose lot it has heretofore been to be made the subject of depredation for the purpose of being treated worse than the authors of such crimes are treated for those crimes in other places. So we can see where they come together on these various points. On both sides, a raid and a deliberative assembly, if you will, on both sides of the same argument here. This is thesis and antithesis moving towards this synthesis of the abolition of the slave trade, if you will, already so far advanced that needn't even be discussed, but it was definitely on the way out. But then that became the focus of the War of Northern Aggression, which was truly just a war of the industrialists against the agriculturalists. This is as old as time itself. Continuing, this community of feeling points to the humanitarianism which during the latter part of the English, latter part of the 18th and the first half of the 19th century was in England the noblest trait of religious and of philosophic reformers. Enter Auguste Comte. So first you have the influence of Claude-Henri de Rouvroy Saint-Simon, who fought alongside Washington at the head of a French battery of mortars, fought alongside Washington and was the last to be awarded the Order of Cincinnatus by Washington. Saint Simon Island, the next island north of Jekyll Island, by the way, on the Atlantic seaboard. Saint Simon returns to France and through the course of time and the process of his life becomes largely the founder, many say, of French socialism. His disciple, Auguste Comte, the founder of positivism. Here we're talking about humanitarianism, which is just a longer way of saying altruism. This concept of living for others, that word altruism was coined by Auguste Comte. Positivism. So you can say communitarianism, you can say communism, you can say socialism, you can say Fabian socialism, but at the end of the day, it all is positivism, where in this new positivist world that we live in, the world will be run by the captains of finance and industry. They will have central banks scattered around the planet. The bank becomes their temple. Woman becomes their goddess. The dictators, their appointed dictators, you could consider that to be Ban Ki-moon or any of the other appointed dictators that serve so admirably in that stead, are supported in all they do by a cadre of super social scientists. You can think of that of all the outcome of that as the East Anglia emails that blew apart for at least the time being the idea of man-made global warming. But all this cadre of super social scientists, Benjamin Bernanke, if you will, that support the appointed dictators in the Republic of the West, this all just points back to Auguste Comte and Henry St. Simon and their influence, which carries on to this day. But this is the positive stage of humanity, where everything is relative, or everything is relative, and that is the only absolute. It's all just relative, man. Hippy-dippy weather, man. Any way you want to live, go ahead and live your life. Just don't bug me. Leave me alone. I won't bug you, and everything will be cool, right? Again, this community of feeling points to the humanitarianism, which during the latter part of the 18th and the first half of the 19th century was in England the noblest trait alike of religious and of philosophic reformers. In minor, though significant characteristics, the moral tone of Benthamism is akin to evangelicalism, and Bentham says, John Stuart Mill, this, both wrote and felt as if the moral standard ought not to be paramount, which it ought, but to be alone, as if it ought to be the sole master of all our actions and even all our sentiments, as if either to admire or like or despise or dislike a person for any action which neither does good nor harm, or which does not do a good or harm proportional to the sentiment entertained, were an injustice and a prejudice. Well, John Stuart Mill's a rather heady writer. Kind of have to dive into his work carefully to follow it along. But then he continues here and he says he carried this so far, again talking about Jeremy Bentham, that there were certain phrases which, being expressive of what he considered to be this groundless liking or aversion, he could not bear to hear pronounced in his presence. Among these phrases were those of good and bad taste. He thought it an insolent piece of dogmatism in one person to praise or condemn another in a matter of taste, as if men's likings and dislikings on things in themselves indifferent were not full of the most important inferences as to every point of their character. Well, okay, we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And through the mysteries and great wonders of telecommunications, Mike Chambers jogged my memory, and it was not Anton LaVey, although he's an equally pernicious creature, Satanist for sure, but Aleister Crowley. I was thinking of the other Loch Ness monster. Do as thou wilt, for it's the whole of the law. Tremendous amount of influence in the 60s. Influenced my life. Influenced decades of my life. And many, many others, my contemporaries. But back to this concept of the community of feeling points to the humanitarianism, altruism, communitarianism, this continual and almost perennial antagonism between the individual and the collective. As I've said many times on the broadcast, this idea of self-sufficiency is unattainable. It's unrealistic, nor is it even desirable. Not possible, my friends. Any who've ever tried it, any who've ever, you know, toted up the bundle and got on your horse and ridden away from people, you quickly realize that self-sufficiency is a pipe dream. It's an illusion. It's a Thomas More utopia. It's Erewhon or nowhere. But self-reliance, that's the meat of an individual, to be reliant, self-reliant. Humanitarianism, altruism, it's really living your life through others. Who told you that you had to go to a university to become educated and informed and enlightened, if you will? Well, it was your educators. It was your mother, your father, influenced by media and education themselves. Your pastor, your preacher, your teachers. There's no lock on this information, and now, especially with the internet, it's a fertile field for homeschooling. Here, even on our own little internet homeschool classroom, we can take this on up past a GED. I could use other expletives to fill that out, but it's, you know what I'm talking about. We could take this beyond a high school level. We can take this beyond an Associate of Arts or Associate of Sciences, a two-year level. We can run right past a bachelor's of whatever, science or arts. We can stream right past the master's level. We could go right on out to the doctorate level. And then we can go beyond that. Because when a man has accomplished this and he's got all of his stripes and his mortarboards and all of his little tassels hung up in a row there with his sheepskins on the wall, too often they just shut their brains off. It's this idea of having 50 years of experience in something. Well, if you happen to be a machinist and you get a job on Tuesday, and on Tuesday afternoon the foreman comes by and he shows you how to run the lathe, and you make your part, and from that day forward you stand there at the lathe and you continue to make parts laid out for you by someone else, you don't really have 50 years of experience as a machinist. You have 50 years of one-day experiences, having never advanced beyond the point that you achieved on that very first day. And altogether, too often, and I've worked in many different fields, if you will, and altogether, too often, the people that I have met are just like that. They have many years of one-day experiences. Rather than being a specialist in the division of labor, I chose to become a generalist. And so when we talk about things on Become Vocal Local, we're drawing from a wide panoply. I like a set of encyclopedias. I like the idea of Aleph to Zwingli, from A to Zygote, in more modern dictionaries. Take the broad picture. Try and look at this entire globe and then try and find solutions on the local level that address all of that, not only in my own life, but locally, in business, in finance, in social endeavors, etc. Widen the hem of your garment. Don't allow others to put you into boxes, repenting yourself over and over again. Fulfilling predetermined outcomes for your life when you didn't have any part in creating or deciding upon that outcome. Fulfilling dreams and goals in your life. There are somebody else's dreams or goals in your life. You can never achieve goals that other people have set for you because they have no force and effect on your life. It's only that enthusiasmos, that fire that burns from within, that drives you to climb that mountain. No matter how many times it takes, I'm going to stand on the top of that mountain. Sometimes you have to climb a small hill to start to begin to develop this confidence. You need to have a series of small wins in your life to be able to start developing that confidence that you can actually trust your own intuition, your own initiative, your own ideas. Once you start to break free from the collective dependencies and become to exercise individual thinking and will, things change. You're no longer influenced by or dependent upon what other people think. Well, what do you think? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I be a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief? I don't know. You tell me, brother. What do you feel led to do? Why don't you try this or that? Well, because that's your idea. I think I can come up with my own ideas. It's like we had a caller on another broadcast. I'm so tired of people telling me how all the things I can't get done, how something cannot work. I'm bright enough to be able to figure out all the ways I can't get something done. You are too. If you want to take that attitude, we could just stay in bed, pull the covers up, and sleep all day. There's a bazillion and one reasons why you can't get something done. What we really need now, because we are very short of time, what we really need now are creative new ways of getting things accomplished and getting something done. What we really need now is a clear vision of where we're going. Are we actually going to move into greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic control over our lives? Are we actually moving towards 100% control of my property 100% of the time? Or are we just going to merge into a faceless, nameless, smooth crotch collective and allow experts, that cadre of super social scientists who inspect and detect and select, as Alice's restaurant song goes, all the circles and arrows on the back of the photographs. Are we going to allow the experts to dictate our future? Or will we chart out a new course for ourselves? Are we competent to find a map? Are we competent to draw a line on the map? Are we competent to choose a destination, either in your own life or in the future at some point, expanding beyond your own successes and including other people in that picture? How's it going to work? How's it going to shape? What would it look like? What would it look like to live in freedom? What would it look like? How would it feel to actually be free? To be free of all of this various and sundry lays on you like peanut butter on a piece of whole wheat bread. How would it feel to actually be free from this exorbitant influence that's coming on us from outside? What do we need to do to get there? That's a journey I'm willing to embark on. That's a journey I am embarked on. That's the one that I've been living by for a long time. I would hope it would be one that you could look back into the history of where we've come, all of the various and sundry fits and starts that man has made over these past thousands of years, all of these quote-unquote dark ages, the Oriental despotisms, this idea of always looking into a future life as opposed to living in this life. Have you ever thought that perhaps this is heaven? What are you making of it? Well, let's make the best of it. It's a beautiful day out. I hope it's nice where you are. Have a great weekend. I'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic Spark Plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic Spark Plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.